Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have John joining me for a preview of the Purdue Boilermakers coming to Champaign after a brief hiatus for Illinois on the heels of a loss in Happy Valley. We won't talk too much about it, but we're back. We're 4-1, ready to go. Two games from bowl eligibility. This should be one, John, that I think both of us think we should have. Are you nervous? How are you feeling?
Definitely a good spot to get healthy after the Penn State performance. That was probably about as expected. We can maybe touch on that a little bit later, but in terms of Purdue, confident, yes, but there's still a sneaking bit of skepticism that I have, just because although Brett Bielema has raised the floor pretty much exponentially, there's still just those classic Illinois moments where you're just waiting for, like 2022, even Purdue, for example, but the Purdue-Michigan State run that we had, or in 2019 when you're already bowl eligible, but you want to put a real emphasis on the end of the season, then you drop one to a Northwestern team that was starting like a walk-on or like not even a quarterback. Just, I have enough of these reference points in my brain that I am not confident that we're going to like cover a 23-point spread or whatever it got up to today.
What do you think with the line movement? I mean, we tweeted it has to either be a suspension and injury to key players or some mega whale just put the biggest bet of all time on Illinois and move the line significantly.
Yeah, I'm not too, obviously us not being, you know, large scale bettors, I'm not super familiar with what, like how limits go and all that good jazz, but I mean, maybe there's a scenario in which a big group is trying to like hit Illinois minus 18 and then get it all the way up to 23 and then come back at Purdue and try to middle it with 5 points. Cause that's, you know, a pretty large spread, but I just don't, it has to be something news wise that has made its way to Vegas, which is also hilarious in the sense of, like, there eventually there's going to come a time where we're doing NFL injury reports for college, because if it is some, if it's a suspension or if it's injury, like you just have to have insight, especially for something as obvious as gambling, you know, metrics predicting it with line movements like that. So I don't know. It's definitely weird. It's kind of come back as of the time that we're recording this. I think it's back down to 21.5. So it got up to 23, opened around 16, 15 or whatever it was, but it's just, it's very odd, but I guess I love the fact that we're favored by 3 scores. So that's the main takeaway.
Yeah. A little behind the scenes. We're recording this on a Thursday night, and as of now, I haven't seen any official news about any injuries, any suspensions. I've seen speculation. We don't have to get into too much, but there's been banter that maybe Hudson Card is out, which would line up, I guess, with the line movement, but we'll see by the time this podcast comes out tomorrow morning. It's possible the news is already out there, whatever it may be. So we'll see whether it's Hudson Card or it's the backup redshirt freshman Ryan Brown in there. And I went and watched some of his film just in case he is the guy. And he played one game last year against Northwestern. I don't think he had the first series, but he had the second series through the rest of the game. And I mean, he was efficient passing the ball, but not in terms of completion percentage, not necessarily yardage. He threw for just about 100 yards, and he did throw 2 interceptions. He had like 3 or 4 incompletions the entire game, but 2 of them were interceptions. And he did run the ball 21 times for 85 yards. So 2 very different game plans I think you'd have to prep for. So I don't know if that necessarily favors us if they end up with two, you know, a different quarterback in there versus Hudson Card, who's more of a pocket passer, I would say. He can get out of the pocket a little bit, but he's, for the most part, not a guy you're anticipating or counting on running the ball 20 times like Ryan Brown can do. So the way Penn State ate us up 2 weeks ago running the ball, it concerns me a little bit. But if you're game planning, don't have to worry too much about a deep threat pass like Penn State had, then, you know, this defense can probably tee off if it ends up being Ryan Brown in there.
Yeah, I think in terms of going back to that line movement, the only player who is really significant enough to value or warrant any kind of value shift like that would be Hudson Card. I mean, he's not playing well this year. He played obviously much better last year. And Purdue is just, I mean, completely done a 180 from any kind of momentum from last year. And he, you know, played all right. There was, you know, the talk of, oh, did the staff want him or Altmaier? And I think largely it would have been similar results for the team. So I don't necessarily think we need to get into like that whole debate. And obviously Luke's playing great this year, but he might be the only guy that's worth, I don't know, 4 or 5 points, because everything else is just so, like, the defense not great. Like, there's not a lot of tackling or discipline. The offense, like, they can run the ball okay, but Reggie their Love. Offensive line just isn't grading out well. What?
We got Reggie Love to game plan against. Maybe he's got inside intel. Game. You never know.
Corey Patterson's just giving all the intel on, like, what? There's not even really any Lovie Smith guys left, so I don't really know what value he could provide, but I know Andy Boo's an analyst and what, but if the defense has changed so much on our end from last year that I'm not super concerned in terms of schematically, it hasn't, you know, shifted like so much. But getting back to what I originally was talking about in terms of Hudson Card, like, yeah, he might be the only guy worth anything on this team, because it's just a whole lot of mid to bad. And, you know, they're projected to maybe win only 2 games this year. Maybe 3 if they, you know, trip up us and maybe Northwestern or something. Like that's about it in terms of looking at Purdue's schedule. So if there's anything with Card in terms of injury, then yeah, that would be massive, because you're taking a team that's already, I don't even want to say they're one dimensional, they're like no dimensional, but have like a prayer of him doing something, because he can buy enough time and he's still enough of a playmaker that he can and they're getting some of their wide receivers healthy and he's able to put the ball. But then the funny thing is, and I've been hate watching Purdue games for the past couple weeks, so you notice it about like I'll say halfway through the second quarter, they quit if you get up a couple scores on them. Like their quit factor might not be as high because of Purdue's, or because of Walter's, you know, path to Purdue and the fact that he can maybe rally the troops like he did last year about Illinois and this, that, and the third. But I mean, they got down against Wisconsin and then it was just, they're not tackling. There are no assignment sound football. There's no assignment sound football being played. It's just, I don't want to, back to our original point, what we opened with, like, I don't want to be overconfident here, but it's, you have a chance to get healthy. Especially the dichotomy of 2 games of Penn State and just like not being able to eke out anything with the opportunities they gave you. Like, you have all the opportunities now. They should be able to go out there and execute, you know, not at will because it's still, you know, any given Saturday, but there should be enough there that you can have some fun and get guys involved.
Yeah. And we're beating around the bush here about, you know, the elephant in the room, and that's Chick-fil-A in the horseshoe. We haven't even talked about that, but that's, to me, that's the storyline of the game. There's Chick-fil-A in the horseshoe. I don't know if there'll be honey pepper pimento sandwiches or if we're limiting ourselves to just the standard, but you and I will be at the game, and you can bet your bottom dollar that the boys will be in line at Chick-fil-A. We'll give you a full review, let you know if it's worth the hype. But I figured we've made it this far without addressing the elephant in the room. It's time to let the people know.
That's what everyone's coming to this podcast for. They're wondering how are they going to get the horseshoe rocking with some Chick-fil-A. And I personally am very excited.
The line is going to be astronomical. By the time you get to the front of the line, it might be a 3-score game.
That's what I was going to say. It might be a great day to go get some Chick-fil-A, because if we're blowing them out, you know, by the end of the second quarter, and this is me putting the cart in front of the horse, but at the same time, you know, go get you some Chick-fil-A while the getting's good, because then Michigan comes to town and those lines aren't going to get any shorter then.
No, but to your point, I'm, you know, with Purdue, to me, I'm scared of a team with Hudson Card leading them. If Hudson Card's not out there and it's Ryan Brown leading it, I complete 180 for me. I think I feel very confident that we win that game big, but Purdue does scare me. I mean, that big drum, the little cannon, we've talked about it for years, and we're 0-3 under Bielema in this trophy game,
which oddly gives me a lot of, it replaces the confidence that I lose thinking about a team with nothing to lose with a head coach who was just at your program. Like, Bielema has to have the boys locked in, coming off a loss, having a bye week, and not having beat Purdue yet in his tenure. like those three things give me enough confidence that he's going to have people locked in and focused and that it's going to be business as usual. And you hope that they come out there and do what teams have been doing to Purdue. I mean, Nebraska went out there and they made Purdue quit in the second half. Wisconsin had Purdue quitting near the end of the first half. It's just like it should be able to happen, but you have this worry that Walters is going to have like some rah-rah speech that, you know, maybe he brings out what he had last year and then it turns into, well, it's, you know, 10-7 and Purdue's leading at the end of the first half. And then all of a sudden we're, you know, not only sweating because it's going to be hot in the stands on Saturday, but we're sweating because, wait, we were 20-point favorites. What's going on here?
I'm jumping around a little bit, but I just had another thought after talking about Chick-fil-A. Do you know who's doing the siren before the game?
Oh, yeah. Sean Evans.
Sean Evans of Hot Ones. So there may be some sort of chicken collab with the hot sauce and the wings and the, I mean, who knows?
It's all coming together perfectly.
You know, Bielema is he likes to tell people he's a marketing major or was a marketing major. So, you know, he's connecting dots.
We should get like a sweet edit of him like rolling the siren, but just like a bunch of Chick-fil-A nuggets coming out of it or something.
John, I'm not capable of that. Come on.
Listen, Dan, I saw that edit of, I mean, not an edit of James Franklin, that great journalism that you put together of finding the James Franklin video. I believe in your ability to journalistically find Sean Evans rolling out the chicken nugs.
That's reminding me too. I'm all over the place right now, but I saw a clip today, Chicago Bears. I think Rome Odunze was in front of a grade school class. It was like a room of first graders or kindergartners or something. And they were asking them questions. And one of the questions was, if you could change the name of the Chicago Bears to something else, what would it be? This kid's response was the Chicago Chicken Nuggets.
Everything's coming back to chicken on this pod.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. Give me some victory chicken if we win.
I was going to say, and speaking of not playing like chickens, just take the game to Purdue. That was terrible. That was terrible.
We're not scared.
There's something to say. Like, yeah, you can't go out there and just be like, you can't think, oh, we're 20-point favorites, so we can kind of just coast and hopefully this all takes care of itself because we're 20-point favorites, so we should just naturally. No, like you got to go out there. You got to execute, play fast and physical because I'm also jumping around because now there's not a lot of me that feels bad for Ryan Walters. It's a very minuscule amount, but there is something to be said about the fact that he, you know, he willingly took over that situation. Yes, but he didn't have the benefit of keeping his Devin Witherspoons or his Johnny Newtons, and like he lost SEC caliber athletes this past season to the transfer portal, and that probably speaks more to the NIL abilities that U of I's sneakily had the past couple of years. But I feel a little bit bad for him that he, you know, had these guys that are, you know, be first round draft picks or, you know, SEC playmakers that he just doesn't have on his roster anymore. But all more to the point of you cannot then let them come in and beat you. Like last year, I guess it's more excusable because yeah, they had, you know, SEC NFL caliber players, but now they don't.
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy, Nick Scorton, like there were some dudes on that team last year, and I don't know, I'm with you. I like Ryan Walters. He was great when he was here. He did try to rub it in our face a little bit with the recruiting thing, and uh-huh. I think we can hold that against him a little bit, but to your point, he's not in the best situation, and maybe part of it's his doing. They have recruited well on paper, but some of these guys haven't necessarily panned out just yet, or they're young and they need the development. I mean, we went through those trials and tribulations with Lovey when he was playing the young team. So who's to say what the number one issue is with that team right now, but I am a little scared knowing that he's looking at his calendar and the schedule and saying, all right, well, if we're not winning this one, we're never going to win. So, you know, of all the games he has left on his calendar, this is the one he has circled, and this is the one their team's really going to be, I think, bought into that they can maybe give us a game. This and Northwestern are the two ones left on their schedule that I think they're looking at from their perspective saying, why don't we regroup and see if we can right the ship right now? So who knows? To your point, maybe we get up early and maybe they quit and wouldn't feel too bad about that, but it's not something I'd go in there with the same level of confidence. Like, when's the last time we were favored by 19 20, 21 points in a Big Ten conference game. It's been years.
Yeah.
So I think there's enough battle scars and, I don't know, there's enough history with Illinois fans and scars that I don't think, I've honestly seen more discourse that, oh, we're going to cruise in this game than I was believing there to be. I'm not someone in the camp of, oh, we'll win this game by 25 plus points. You'll see in my prediction coming up shortly that I'm not quite there. I do think we win and we cruise relatively comfortably, but I wouldn't be surprised if Purdue keeps this close. You know, we struggled a little bit against Penn State, and that Penn State defense is for real. So I don't know if we have the offense we brought to Happy Valley this week or if we have the offense we brought to Lincoln, Nebraska. We put up, what was it, 31 points on a very good defense there. So I think the bye week helps, having the extra practice and preparation, you know, add a couple wrinkles, watch the extra film, and make sure you know what to expect from a new offensive coordinator and how they called the game last week with Purdue firing Graham Harrell 2 weeks ago. The one thing I'll bring up, you and I both watched a little bit of that Wisconsin-Purdue game, and this is...
I watched more of it than I'd like to admit.
The special teams, though, you and I think are both thinking opportunity this week to potentially block a punt. Well, there were there were miscues by the Purdue return team. They fumbled or muffed two punts to start the game. Yep. And then my eyes were opened on the first two or three punt attempts where they almost got them blocked every single time. And I'm thinking this might be a week where we get a special teams touchdown, whether it be a block and a return, or I don't know. I just don't think Purdue's special teams are that dialed in. And I'm sure Disher is going to have that, you know, locked in on the scouting report and have something drawn up to maybe exploit that poor special teams of Purdue. So we'll see.
Yeah, they should have advantages all over the field. To your point, special teams, like they shouldn't even have been fielding punts at that point, because they got lucky on the first one with a muff that was recovered. And then they pretty much, like, the turning point in the game was the second punt that was muffed, because then that turned into Wisconsin kind of starting to blow them out. And then you saw the quit get, you know, late itself in. And it was just like, that's going to be the moment where there's going to be something in the Illinois game coming up where, like, there's going to be a moment where Purdue tries to give it to you and you have to take it, because then if you take it and you capitalize on it, they're going to quit. So that's the fear, is not only that, like they're not a good enough football team right now. And that's the thing. So the one thing is, Ryan Walters has admitted, this is not us giving them any kind of bulletin board material. This is, like, he said after the game, because once again, I'm watching way too much Purdue content. He said after the game, you know, we're just not a good football team. And some of that is maybe motivational, but there was a somber attitude or a sober attitude to that, you know, conversation. And so I think he knows that, like, yeah, they, you know, kind of need to do everything perfect to even have like an above average game. So what you need to do is capitalize on the moments where they're not even average. So they're going to give you enough chances, got to capitalize and take, and it could be a block punt. It could be a muff punt. It could be that they're still trying to figure out how to use a former Indiana high school coach in their second game as a play caller. It could be that now the defense that has had penalties and missed tackles is, you know, not getting Walter's full attention, because he's once again admitted that the last couple of weeks has been working more with the offense, because you can't just fire your OC and then not be the head coach who gives some time, even if he's a defensive guy. So then Kevin Kane's getting all the, you know, defensive responsibilities, and, you know, not that he can't handle that, but there's just enough advantages to be found within this game that you need to take advantage of that in all three phases, or at least dominate one phase early enough in the game that then they start quitting in the other phases, because they've shown a propensity to do that. And no matter the amount of juice they might come into the game with, like, they looked all right to start the Wisconsin game, and the defense played fairly well even against Nebraska the week prior. So it's not that they can't come out and play competent football. It's just at some point the bend will eventually turn into break, and you need to be able to leverage that to just making them, you know, not really want to play out there. So, because it's happening quick, and it's not really great to see in terms of, like, a fan of football, and just like, you know, you don't want to see necessarily a Big Ten team doing that, but it's still something that you have to force that action. You can't just like wait for that to happen. You can't just be like, oh yeah, Purdue will eventually quit. No, you have to make them quit.
I love it. I'm on board with that. Let's just go to picks of the week.
Yep.
Take it away.
My pick of the week is going to be Sidney Brown I'm just kidding. I just happened to randomly see a drill of him tackling at Eagles practice. So he's on my mind. So with that in mind, I'm going to go with another little bowling ball of a defensive back, but who currently plays for the Illini, Torrey Cox. I feel like this is kind of like a perfect game for him. And maybe it's because Purdue is playing a bit like a MAC school, so he can feel right at home in terms of his success from prior years. But I think this is like the perfect kind of game where a guy like him who has enough edge goes out, sets a tone, has a couple big hits, you know, maybe forces a fumble, maybe even gets a pick. And he might be the guy that is that when I'm talking about making them quit, he's the enforcer of that play or those plays that then gets Purdue's mindset into a deep and dark place.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to go Big Brett, Little Cannon. My pick of the week is Brett Bielema holding up the cannon.
That's going to be a great visual. We need to do like the thing where, like, you know, for every 100 likes, we'll make the cannon smaller and Brett bigger. Yes. And you just progressively get him bigger and bigger and the cannon smaller and smaller.
I like that. That's a great idea. All right. We need to execute that. Well, we need to win the game first. And if we win the game, then we execute that. But Brett Bielema, revenge spot. We've lost three straight. He wants revenge on Walters. And to your point, that little edge, I think, in having that to point to and be like, you guys think you're great. You're 4-1. They're 1-4. But they're the team with the trophy. We haven't beat them. And that little motivation is, I think, something good for us to point to make sure we're coming into it level-headed and not anticipating walking in and steamrolling this team, because this isn't a huge talent discrepancy here. The talent, I would say, in, you know, West Lafayette versus the talent in Champaign is pretty close. I think there's a much bigger gap between the Penn State talent and the Illinois talent than the Purdue and Illinois talent. So yes, maybe there's a coaching advantage right now, and we seem to schematically have things figured out, whereas they don't. So that's where the advantage lies. But if players are making plays, this Purdue team could give us a run for our money. So I'm not fully on board. And I guess I'll just go right into my game prediction. I'm going to go 27-13 Illinois. So I see, you know, a 2-touchdown win, which to some is comfortable, but given the spread, I think Purdue maybe keeps it closer than we're anticipating. You know, they haven't really taken the ball away this year. They might have had 2 interceptions this past week, and those were their first 2 takeaways 5 games in. But, you know, you never know if a couple balls bounce their way. Thieneman picks one off on the back end when we're taking a deep shot. Something like that could very quickly and easily change the momentum of the game. I think we're the better team clearly right now, and for that reason, I still think a 2-touchdown victory is comfortable, smooth sailing for us. So that's what I'll go with.
I don't even know if we have the capacity anymore in Illinois to do this, because I think they took out wagering in physical sports books on Illinois colleges. But all that to say, I'm going to predict 41-6. Only because, so you're going to have to kind of follow me here. If I was an unbiased viewer, if I had just been watching Purdue games the past couple weeks in Illinois and not thinking about the history, not thinking about the fact that we haven't won at home and, you know, since over a decade, and the fact that Brett Bielema hasn't, like, throwing all that aside, if you were an objective, I don't know, person and, South Carolina, just watching these two teams being like, oh, I wonder what this game is going to look like. It'd be like Purdue, not bueno, Illinois, you know, feisty, a couple ranked wins, gave Penn State a little bit of a fight. I'm trying to remove my bias on both, like, hating Purdue, but then also, like, the scared aspect I have towards the Illinois potential. So I'm going to go 41-6. That's just because I've watched too much of this Purdue team to just think that like there's going to come a point where they crack. And I think Bielema is going to have the boys lined up enough that like he's going to be telling them the same thing, like that there's going to be an opportunity. You seize it and then you step on their throats and you do not take your foot off. Because he also is going to remind them of last year too. Like we got pounded last year. It wasn't particularly close. So there's, I think that even though, you know, there might be some, he has, Bielema hasn't been quite as snarky or as outward with maybe the distaste he has towards the Illinois Purdue relationship, like Walters has had in inverse fashion. But I just, I think there's a part of him that just wants to go out there and clean their clocks. So I'm going to go 41-6, jump on them early and often, don't let off the gas. And even honestly, even if they get, you know, Khalil Valentine, you know, 10 to 15 touches in the second half, or they try and see if Donovan Leary can get some quality reps, it's like, I still feel pretty confident because that Purdue team, when the going gets tough, they are not getting going. And that's not even trying to give them like bulletin board material or anything like that. That's just like the reality that they're sitting in, and you need to keep that a reality for them. That's the main focus, is going out there, executing, making it so that, you know, the trends that has been the Purdue football team, this is more about, you know, making them lose and not necessarily just like hoping that they go out there and lose.
I will add the caveat that my prediction is still assuming Hudson Card is playing. Yeah. If he's not playing, I'll throw my alternate prediction that if Ryan Brown's in there, I think we'll see a heavy dose of Devin Mockaby. We'll see a heavy dose of Reggie Love, and Ryan Brown will run the ball as well. And I think the game will move fast if that's the case, because there's probably not going to be that many pass attempts. But I would think maybe, I don't know, 34-7, I'll say, if the backup is in there. I feel much better about it than Hudson Card, I think, could potentially pick us apart a little bit and keep things close for a while. But like I said, I still think the talent, it's close, but the coaching is enough in our favor that we should take care of business. And Brett Bielema will be holding a little trophy up, and photo opportunities, we'll be photoshopping that for every 100 likes, we make Brett bigger and the trophy smaller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah. The final sidebar, I think, and you just touched on Reggie Love, and we said something earlier. Can we talk about the fact that, like, especially in a year where, I'm not saying he's as good as Ashton Gentry, but like in a year where a guy like Ashton Gentry is, you know, putting up Heisman level numbers because he's at a small school getting that kind of volume, like what? I'm not going to pretend to know everyone's situation, and I'm not saying that like Reggie Love was going to the NFL, but when Devin Mockaby is putting up like 1,000 yards rushing and coming back and having multiple years of eligibility, like why didn't Reggie go to like, I don't know, like a MAC school or like an American school, like go to some like Mountain West,
somewhere like, where he's a clear number one, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get the volume, maybe have a great year and put yourself on some radars. Like there's just, not only are you on a bad team, but you're not even getting the lion's share of the carries, and you transferred with 1 year. Like, I know that he knows Corey Patterson. I know that he's going to take care of him. I know that he has taken care of him. And maybe he just said, you know what, I'm going to get like a little bit more money, or if NIL is all the same, I'm going to go split carries at Purdue rather than split carries at Illinois. But still, just so bizarre to me.
Yeah, I would imagine it was mostly relationship based, that decision. And he's thinking, well, you know, they're telling me I have the same role there versus here. You know, this guy's been like a father, like figure to me in some capacity. Yep. I'm going to go ahead and make the move and see if I can produce over there. And obviously hindsight's 2020, and I'm sure he's regretting that to some degree, that, you know, he has gotten a decent carry load, I would say, this year, but he's, you know, and maybe he looked at the Illinois backfield and thought, well, obviously Caden Fagan's looking pretty good. And who knows if Aiden Loffrey's a guy that, and Josh McCray's still there. Maybe he's thinking, you know, what's my role there? But I still think he would have been the number two guy.
But then he looked at the Purdue backfield, and then he was like, no, this is good. This is actually all the stuff I just saw. I know that your point is so valid. I'm not trying to discount that. It's just so bizarre to me that he didn't look at that and make the correct decision in terms of like, yeah, I'm going to have a limited role. And then he's like, you know what I'm going to do? Go somewhere I have a limited role.
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't know what that decision was, but like I said, hopefully he's regretting it even more on Saturday.
I was going to say, watch me eat some crow as he's just like bouncing off a bunch of tacklers and his contact balance is still as good as ever. And he's just, you know, skirting his way to 3 touchdowns. And I'm just like, well, that's why he went to Purdue.
If he loses that game, he'll have never won the trophy, right? Because we lost the last three.
Yep. He'll have never possessed the cannon. He was not around in 2019 when we were slipping, sliding with that in West Lafayette.
All right. Well, John and I will be at the game. If you find us, you win a prize. What should the prize be, John?
They get one Chick-fil-A waffle fry.
Courtesy of you.
Yeah. And maybe maybe if we go ham on the order, we'll get some Chick-fil-A sauce packets and we can just lather it up in Chick-fil-A sauce and give it to some lucky fans.
Yeah. A very firm handshake too. That's mm-hmm. part of the deal.
Firm handshakes and Chick-fil-A waffle fries.
2:30 FS1.
It's gonna be hot.
Next week, 2:30 CBS for Michigan. Ooh, but let's take care of business against Purdue, and then we'll be in a big time matchup with a lot of eyeballs on us. All right, we'll leave it at that. Thank you, as always, for listening. You can check us out on social media, @TheFieldPass. Go Illini.